Hello and welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to episode 87 of the Crick Picks podcast. I'm Behram Kazi. You can find at Def Mango on Twitter. And with me, she's back. Estelle Vasudevan is back on a Crick Picks episode with us. You can find her at Estelle_Vasudev, the number one. Can't believe I remembered that on Twitter. And then we've got Jared Kimber as well, who you can find literally everywhere. How does it feel, Estelle, to be back on Crick Picks?
Well, it's good to be back, but I fear that today's episode might feature a few weird picks from me.
Well, it's good that she's already, like, she's back for 2 seconds.
Yeah.
She's
set
already
the, like, I apologize. Expectations.
Yeah. Apologize ahead of time for stuffing up this episode.
Setting the bar really
Also, this is a very easy episode to stuff up because it's one of those ones where Behram has picked a topic because he basically wants to pick one or two players from what we can tell. And
we're supposed to
understand what the rest is.
This hasn't come from me, by the way. This has come from our supporters at Patreon. And you could become one of them, by the way, by going to Patreon.com/goodareaspodcast. And then you can enjoy ad-free content. You can talk to us exclusively and give us recommendations for quick picks like you did for this one. Just in case you guys are new to this show, what Crick Picks is all about is that we take any generic cricket category and we draft our top five each for that category in a snake-style draft competition. So the pick order goes 1, 2, 3, 3, 2, 1. And sometimes we combine to draft teams. So this is one of those episodes where our supporters on Patreon, they wanted us to create an all-time commentators test team. So you basically need to pick players who have done commentary on the regular, but they need not be really good commentators.
But this is what I don't understand. That part is yours, right? Yeah, I think that's surely not what they said online. Surely what they said online was that, like, of people who are really good commentators, pick a team who is also really good cricketers. And you've decided that, I don't know, Brian Lara commentated one game. Like, because Brian, can we all agree that Brian Lara is not a commentator and Sachin Tendulkar are not commentators? They have both done commentating, right? Mm-hmm. So I think there has to be a threshold at which we can make fun of each other if someone just gerrymanders this list to get a really good cricketer in. I think they have to be thought of as a commentator. How about that?
Yeah. I mean, I think you need to have an ICC event under your belt as a commentator. And we all remember those guys, right? Kind of.
Yeah, but I mean, I've commentated with Clive Lloyd at an ICC event before. And he was asleep throughout the entire commentary gig with me. So, I even think that's quite wide. But anyway, if that's the way you want to go, that's fine.
Yeah. It shouldn't be madness. It shouldn't be that hard because it's just 12 players. But yes, we expect madness. And what makes it even better is that in her comeback show, Estelle has landed first pick. We all have grown to love and adore Estelle's first picks. And we're back. Where is she going with this?
She doesn't know.
She already set expectations very, very low. So I suppose,
I think, you know, that this one is a safe one. Safe one. Michael Holding. I'll go Michael Holding as my number one pick.
That is a safe one.
So nothing much to criticize. I mean, he's not on commentary anymore, but I think he built a reputation for being one of the most straight-talking commentators out there, right? And of course, he's cricketing. You don't have to talk too much about it. He's got all the numbers and the reputation and all of that.
Yeah. His name is Michael Holding, but he never held back. One of my favorites growing up, and as a cricketer as well, phenomenal record, averaging, 23.68 in Test cricket, 249 wickets. Mm-hmm. I mean, very strong start, Estelle. I suppose you've gone or come back from your little sabbatical with a lot
There's still time. I have three more picks.
She's been off work just waiting to say Michael Holding out loud. That's all that's happened here the whole time away. Yeah, I think I was wondering if it's him or maybe the player I will pick next are just the automatic number ones. Like, I'm not sure there are too many more options because you want someone who's also a fantastic cricketer, right? So I think those would be Michael Holding certainly a valid number one, and then I'll go Richie Beno at number two. Right. So I just think again, because we're waiting for Estelle and I are both waiting for Behram to completely fuck this up by picking someone who commentated once in a women's big bash game because his daughter was playing or something. And pick proper commentators. So I think we picked two of the better, more famous commentators of all time. And Richie Beno also, like Holding, just a great cricketer.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I could challenge you that maybe there was a better wrist spinner out there who we could have picked ahead of Richie Beno, right?
But he can't commentate. So, again, you can pick another leg spinner. If you want to bring Anil Kumble in, you can, man.
Okay, well, I'm fine with that pick. Obviously, Richie Beno is iconic when it comes to commentary and was a phenomenal cricketer as well. He could be our all-rounder in this team and a wrist spinner. Apologies to the other wrist spinner who's probably not going to get picked anymore. I will start.
Just before you pick someone then. This is my worry. You're already more obsessed with the cricketer side of things than you are the commentator. Mm. The other person is not going to be remembered for commentary. And so if you start picking people that aren't remembered for commentary, me and Estelle are ready. She's been waiting 5 months or however long she's been gone just to tell you that you're wrong.
Okay, well, I've got two picks in a row. You can be the judge of those two picks in like 10 seconds, I suppose. First pick for me, I'll go with Sunil Gavaskar. It would be stupid not to go for him, I suppose, right? Like, test average of 51 plus and 10,000 plus runs in the format as well. And we can all, you know, have opinions about his commentary. But then again, he's been a mainstay, at least as far as Indian commentators are concerned, throughout history, or not throughout history, but like for the last, let's say, 3 to 4 decades, I want to say. Mm. So I suppose he has to be in there, right? Sunny G, any takers?
Oh yeah, I had him.
Yeah, I had
list.
Him as well. Yeah,
I don't
and
know.
I
again,
don't think he's
would have had him this
is
high.
Is he a terrible commentator?
Look, I've said this before. I think he occasionally, because he's such a genius of a cricketer, he will occasionally say things that will stop me in my tracks that a lot of better commentators don't do, right? He just has the ability to say something, which I suppose makes him similar to Warne in that sort of way of where you're like, oh, wow, this is incredible. But he does, and most of us have listened to him in the last 10 to 15 years, when he basically says the same things over and over again, doesn't he? And it does get a little bit repetitive. And you can certainly see why people would be like, oh, okay. Again, we're saying this again. So I can understand that. I think he's a controversial commentator. I don't think you can argue, though, that he's not known as a commentator anymore. I think he definitely is, in a way that, let's say, you know, Bayram's other pick, Shane Warne, would not have been.
Well, what I'll say about Sunny G, the commentator, is that he will have his moments of brilliance because he is an intelligent human being and he's obviously played cricket at the top level for so long. But he also has that boomer energy. But don't you want some boomer energy in this team? That's my rebuttal, right? Like,
I think Holding has a bit of boomer energy. Holding refused to do T20 cricket. That's about as boomer as you could get. Also, I would say that what I like about, less so Holding, but Richie Beno and Sunil Gavaskar were also writers and journalists, right? Maybe calling Gavaskar as a journalist, but he's certainly a columnist, right? He had to think about what he was writing and everything else. So there is an element of them being like much more rounded commentators than perhaps a lot of the, you know, the other commentators we've seen.
Okay, well, I still have another pick. Sunny G is off the list, and you guys will hate me for this, but I'm going to go and pick him up anyway. Not sure if he had a chat with either of you this morning, but my second pick is going to be Waseem Akram. And, you know, there is this sheer, you know, lack of preparedness, nonchalance.
From
and
you.
Just I'm out here to have fun energy with Waseem, but I want him on this team, so I'm going to go ahead and pick him.
He's interesting. Have you seen him on any of those like Australian sports shows where like he's on a panel or something? And I've also seen him when he's on like bigger Australian commentary teams, because, you know, sometimes in Australia you have 3 or 4 players. He's actually really good at that. But you put him in a commentary booth where it's him and one other person, and we don't get the great commentary. I don't know if modern people will think of him as a commentator. I think maybe our generation will. We heard him a lot more, I feel, than that the modern generation did. I remember the first time I met him, he was commentating. So I think he's on the fringe of someone being thought of as a commentator rather than someone, you know, 100%. But he does have some skills.
Yeah, see, thing with him is that we know that Waz will never do his homework. He will make silly errors whilst he's commentating. But the thing is that he doesn't care either. He's literally there just to have a good time. And you can literally tell, like, he's always cracking a joke. Sometimes people will laugh at it. Sometimes they won't, right? And he'll always, like, the amount of times I've seen Waseem Akram on some sort of broadcast holding a ball and telling everyone what the wrist position should be like. If I had a penny for every time that happened, I'd probably be a millionaire by now, right? So it's just like, even though I don't rate him really highly as a commentator, whenever he's on commentary, I can't not enjoy myself. It's just, it's an experience. I don't know how to coin it, but yeah, I mean.
Have you heard the cat story?
No, I haven't.
He's got this went viral. I think it was last summer or maybe a couple of summers ago. He's in Australian commentary and like he, So he's a Pakistani, right, who now lives in Melbourne at least a fair bit of the time, doesn't he? I don't know if he lives there full time, but he's in Australia a lot. And he's got a cat in Australia that was sick.
Hmm.
And he goes on air to say how much the cat bill is. And the Pakistani just comes out in him when he's just like, how, like, I could be wrong, but my memory is it was like $1,000 something or $1,500 for this cat. Yeah. And he's just like, I could buy 1,500 more cats for this sort of, that's the whole thing of the story. And that's what I mean. He can be really good. And I don't think I've ever commentated with him, but I've been around him in commentary boxes and I've had chats like that with him where I'm like, actually, he could be really, really good. But as you said, he shows a spectacular lack of caring.
Yeah.
Right? And a lot of the other players try and hide it. He does not. I'll give him that.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you just look at the cricketing side, although I know that you don't care much about this, he's got 916 international wickets at 23.5, right? Bowling average.
Yeah, he can play cricket. No one's complaining about that, buddy.
Anyway, so we've got an opener in Sunil Gavaskar. We've got two bowlers in Holding and Waz can be your number eight, even if you want to like kind of bring in more bowlers in there. And you've got what, Richie Benaw at 6 or 7, Jared? What are you thinking?
I actually had him at 8. And then with what Waz in the team, I moved him down. I moved him up to 7 in our team so far. I'm going to go another fast bowler here. This guy's a guy who should be remembered more as a bowler. Was the first guy to take 300 wickets in Test cricket, but then became sort of what commentators would become. Incredibly opinionated, had a very distinctive way of talking. That's Fred Truman, who's like just became probably the first famous commentator, I would argue, in cricket, and did so for years. There's great, if you ever have a chance, there's a great clip of him, I reckon in about 1980, going on air complaining about helmets. It's such a lie. Settle down, Grandpa. Your time has come. And it's a great moment just watching him. But he was hilarious as a commentator, not always intentionally, but he was a very, very funny commentator, and he spoke quite a lot about the game, and he was very much the voice of cricket in England for a huge period of time, and was one of the greatest fast bowlers of all time. In fact, in his opinion, he was actually the greatest fast bowler of all time, which makes him almost doubly a commentator, right, when you're that sure of yourself.
All right, then. So we've got three fast bowlers already, which means that some people might miss out over here, actually. Some really good commentators who were really good fast bowlers might miss out. Hint, hint. But it's back to Estelle now. She's got two picks in a row, and let us see where she's headed.
This is where things go south, I think.
Russell Arnold.
Michael Clarke? No, I'm kidding.
He's a podcaster now. He's not a broadcaster anymore.
Oh, yeah. Okay, so I think this will be a similar pick to Wasim, in that he's definitely much better known as a cricketer than a commentator. I'll go with Ricky Ponting at number 3. I think he's got some really good insights as a commentator, has done a lot of short form stuff, hasn't he? And he, you know, he's always someone who's good to listen to, but he's kind of still, you know, by the names we've picked, he's still kind of new to the job, isn't he?
Yeah. The only issue with Ponting is that because he coaches, we probably haven't heard him commentate enough. But he seems to be a major person in Australian commentary and English commentary at the same time, right? And that, so even though it's not for as long as some of the other guys on this list, I would say there's maybe, if you're in Australia or England specifically, you've heard a lot of Ricky Ponting of recent times.
Yeah.
And you might think of him as more of a commentator than you would Wasim Akram. I kind of had him on my list, but I thought there was a better number 3. Not a player, but certainly as a commentator that we could have gone with. But I kind of toyed around with Ponting as well. So I don't think that's a bad pick at all.
Yeah, I had him in my long list. But you know what? In recent times, I think we've heard enough of him in the comm box for him to qualify for this, right? Like, I think it makes sense.
I was going to say, we've heard enough of him. Just turn the mic off, Ricky.
And you're right, Jared, in the sense that he does do these coaching gigs in the IPL and whatnot. But whenever there's a big tournament around, say the Ashes or, you know, the Border Gavaskar Trophy, or even right now, recently when India were playing England in England, he was there. And, you know, he is much loved in the commentary box. And I feel like with Ponting, I think he is a better analyst than he has commentator, right? Like, I feel like he really understands the game at a deeper level, but maybe perhaps his calling isn't at that level, but still he qualifies. So I think that's a really good start to Estelle's return.
Oh, she's killing it. She's killing it. I think with Ponting, that he's a bit like Holding. You're not going to get him to call the main action, or Truman, or actually most of these people so far. Benno's the only one that maybe would be calling the balls. But his work in the Big Bash back when it, and I know he still does some stuff occasionally, but it was, you know, revolutionary. He was so much ahead of everyone else the way he was talking about the game.
Mm. Yep.
Cricket boards actually make watching their games almost impossible. I spend almost as much time trying to find where I can view it as I do actually following the action. That is why I use NordVPN. They let me find all the cricket I want to watch while protecting me from the nasty side of the internet. Nord will free your cricket matches. Grab your exclusive NordVPN deal by going to nordvpn.com/goodareas to get a huge discount off your NordVPN plan plus 4 additional months on top. It's completely risk-free with Nord's 30-day money-back guarantee. Watch every match with NordVPN.
All right, Estelle, who's next?
Okay, one more for me. okay, I'm going with Jeremy Cohen for Ooh. My next pick, who, like, I guess for people of my generation, more known for his commentary than the cricket. I find him really interesting to listen to, although he's not really on much TV broadcasts anymore, is he? He does a lot of radio, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I think he's kind of slipped off. He did do TV back in the day, didn't he? I think he. Mm-hmm. I think if you go back and you listen to old games, he comes up a bit. But I think you're right. It's mostly radio. So I've commentated with him on SEN and on TalkSport of recent times.
Yeah,
yeah. I think you're right. I think actually he's probably again one of the a bit like Richie Beno. Even though they both had fantastic careers, he wasn't as good a cricketer as Richie, obviously. He's actually gone on to be known much more as a commentator, partly because of the – he's been commentating for like 40 years, right? And wasn't he also – shouldn't he be in this side anyway? I'm pretty sure – you might know this, Estelle. I think he was on tour with New Zealand and they were short a player because they'd had a bunch of injuries, and he put the whites back on from the commentary box and went out and did some sub-fielding. So I'm pretty, I mean, that's going above and beyond as a player slash commentator, right? There's also another great story just while we're here of Alan. There was a tour where I can't remember where they were, but it was somewhere in the subcontinent and South Africa were playing, and Neil Manthorpe was on his own and didn't have a co-commentator. So he was using people from the South African setup, and Alan Donald was on with him, and there was a collapse. And suddenly Neil Manthorpe said, Al, thank you so much for commentating, but don't you have to go on air? Don't you have to go out and bat in a minute? And Donald suddenly looked up and realized he should have been padded up and had to run off. So there have been some great moments of commentator player type stuff in the past. But yeah, Jeremy Coney, no doubts there. I think he's one of the best commentators of all time, but I am a little bit biased.
Yeah, I was surprised actually. Like, I'm shocked that Estelle has not picked Sangha at all, and she's picked the guy that I expected Jared to pick, right? Because he's Jeremy Coney's mate.
I weirdly didn't really have Jeremy Coney on my list, but now looking at it, I think it probably makes sense. But yeah, I didn't really have him on my list at the moment anyway. But okay, yeah, he's there. I put him in at number 6, but he can move to number 5 if we need that as well.
All right. Okay, it's back to you then.
Okay. I'm glad I moved into number 6 because I did it on purpose. It was completely tactical. So I could pick Mel Jones at number 5.
Oh. You've done an Estelle. This is like some great crossover we're having over here, because usually Estelle's the one who
except
gets the...
Except it's not Charlotte Edwards.
Yeah, she's
except
the one...
Mel Jones actually deserves to be in this side. But Mel Jones actually, weirdly enough, if you look at her international career, sorry Mel, because she might actually hear this, but she didn't make a lot of runs, but was, you know, a mainstay in that side for, you know, best part of a decade, and they were at various times the best team in the world, right? So there's certainly a lot of talent within her cricket, but has gone on to be one of the voices of cricket. And I remember having this conversation with her once where I was doing some consultancy with the ABC, and I was basically telling her, I have sent this report in. It says a lot of nice things about you. And this is just before she kind of broke through. Call someone at the ABC and follow up on this, because I think, you know, you should become the voice of cricket in Australia on the radio. And she started talking about her voice specifically, because it's an incredible voice, right? Like it's so deep and, you know, and there was a big issue. It doesn't happen as much now, but when I first started, women wouldn't get jobs, not because they were women, but because men didn't like to hear high voices, right? And so some, you know, people like Graham Gooch even don't always get commentary gigs because they have high voices. And Mel was like, it's such a great voice to have that like I just fit in anywhere. But she's gone on to be a great commentator. And, you know, I think she's, certainly one of my favorite to listen to, and 10-year career at international cricket, and that's enough for me.
Also, now her impact is going beyond, you know, the cricket field, in the sense that those Afghan women, right? Mel Jones has had such a major role to play into getting them to you know, kind of get on the field and stuff like that. So I think, like, she's a very prominent figure in the world of cricket right now. So, Jared, I have two picks in a row now. Can you tell me what our team is looking like? Because I'm going to, like, kind of be pragmatic now.
Yeah, weirdly enough, I thought at the start we had a million openers to choose from, and somehow we've only got Sunil Gavaskar at the top. Ricky Ponting is at three. We've got Mel Jones at five, Jeremy Coney at six, Richie Benaud at seven, Wasim Akram at eight, Fred Trueman at nine, Michael Holding at 10. So we've got certainly a space for another bowler and another opener and probably another specialist batter if you wanted to as well.
All right, so I'm going to go specialist batter first. He can perhaps bat at number four.
Do we not need a keeper?
We do need a keeper. Holy shit. Okay. You know what? I'll make this easy for you. When it comes to keepers, I had two names in there, and one of them was DK, and I don't think DK deserves to get in ahead of Ian Smith. So Ian Smith makes it by the barest of margins, I suppose. And I mean, look, iconic commentator and much loved in the commentary box. I feel like everyone who is on that same panel as Ian Smith is actually feeling some sort of, you know, gratitude that they are there sitting next to him. A great caller of moments, someone who is really, you know, he loves the sport. You can feel it from his energy. And then that moment in the 2019 ODI World Cup, where he is the one who is actually from New Zealand and he gets to call the final ball and says that England have won it by the barest of margins. I think that will remain etched in our memories forever. So if we're going wicketkeeper, then Ian Smith has to be the guy. No?
Yeah. No, I don't.
I thought you were going Sangha.
Yes, I thought of going Sangha. I was confused between Ponting and Sangha. I wanted someone else to make the decision, and you made it.
I don't think I'm happy with Ponting. I think Sangha. I suppose though, he's done a bit in England now, hasn't he? I don't know if I completely feel. Although, yeah, maybe. But I think Ian Smith is a better decision, all things considered. Right, he is. You could have also gone Katie Martin, by the way.
Oh, I could have.
Maybe, I was going to say maybe it's too soon, but she's much more known for her commentary than she is for her cricket already. So I think that's probably pretty fair. Yeah, the only problem with Ian Smith is that we just have we've given ourselves quite a weak order. But we do have lots of players. Guys like Richie Benaud, Ian Smith, Wasim Akram. They're all, you know, they can all bat a little bit. But yeah, there's no issue with Ian Smith being on there. So I think he's one of the more iconic commentators. The weird thing about Ian Smith is I think he's commentated for a long time, but he's more known for just a couple of smaller moments, like the one where he commentated his... Was it him who commentated his car getting hit? And it turned out it wasn't his car or anywhere near his car. You know, he's gone viral a couple of times. I actually think he was brilliant back in probably in the older days. I thought he was a brilliant commentator, and people don't talk about that as much.
Fair. I actually took a leaf out of your book where I went for the better commentator. And you know what? Like, in my perfect team, I had Sangha at three and I was keeping with him, which is not a good thing to do. You don't want your keeper batter to bat at three, right? So that's out of the picture, because obviously we've got punter. So now what does our team look like, Jared? After the keeper.
Sunil Gavaskar is opening on his own with Ricky Ponting and then Ricky Ponting at first drop. Mel Jones at four, Jeremy Coney, Richie Benaud, Ian Smith, Wasim Akram, Fred Trueman, Michael Holding. So we're missing a bowler, an opening batter, and then obviously the 12th player.
So we don't need a middle order batter anymore.
No, we probably have gone over the top on middle order batters so far.
Damn, because I really, really wanted to pick Dino, but he's going to miss out now because he's not required.
You can't pick someone who was, like, literally caught being racist on air.
I suppose so, but, like, still, even though, like, look, yes, of course, that's a howler in three quarters, but then again, I grew up on Dean Jones, right? Like, that has got to mean something, right? No,
I grew up with Dean Jones, and that's why it might have been the first time I ever vetoed a pick.
Yeah, anyway, I can't pick him anyway. All right, then. So they're two very, very good opening batters. Both of them have actually had very storied commentary careers as well. Oh, man, this is tough. This is really tough. I feel like one of them is the better commentator and one of them might be the better cricketer. I looked up their numbers and they're both averaging like 47 with the bat as openers. So it's really, really tough for me. But you know what? Screw it. I'll go with Jeff Boycott. I'm sorry, Bill Laurie. You probably could have made it in this team. Probably should have, actually. But for me, when it comes to commentary, Jeff Boycott, again, don't like him, but still iconic, right? Like him calling some players rubbish and then saying that his grandmother could have played better than X player. I still feel like that has been a part of our lives, which has been a part of many, I don't know, drawing room jokes and that sort of stuff. And this guy is probably, like, you know, not really fun to hang out with. But in the commentary box, he has been around for a long, long time. And I feel like even though it's a very storied career as a cricketer, he did really leave an imprint in the commentary box as well.
Yeah. You know, I think compared to Bill Laurie, I think Bill Laurie's impact is largely Australia only, isn't it? Whereas I think Boycott's legacy is a little bit in Australia, but he also commentated, a little bit in Australia, obviously England, but he also commentated in the West Indies and South Africa. And, you know, he was a Crick Info voice, so he was quite well known throughout Asia early on in his career as well. So I think there's certainly an element there of it makes more sense. I wonder which one of them is the better commentator. Is that maybe a different conversation to have at a different time?
I'd take Bill Laurie as a commentator alone, just because I like Bill Laurie, but I feel like Boycott deserves to be on this team. And have you noticed how I couldn't pick Dino and I picked Boycott? Are you considering firing me?
Yeah, actually, that's probably fair as well. That's another one. I don't know if Boycott ever said anything on commentary, though, that would have him struck from the record. But yeah. No, I think it's a really, really interesting one with Boycott. I don't have any issues. I think there's other openers as well that could make this list. So I think the opener position was probably one where there was more options than anywhere else. But just to prove how much Boycott sort of commentated everything, when Richie Richardson comes out to bat for the first time in a helmet, it's in a test match, and Boycott is commentating that test match, and he nails it straight away. He's like, I don't think I've ever seen this guy bat in a helmet before, you know. And that's basically, for me, that's the moment when Richardson comes out with the helmet is the moment when cricket changes forever, right? When that's the last guy ever to, you know, sort of bat without a helmet. And when you go back and you listen to a lot of these old World Cups or games or whatever, Boycott's just there, like the sheer amount of hours. And you know, personally, obviously, we have some different opinions about life, and you know, no one's ever going to be pro someone who was found guilty of assaulting a woman or anything like that. But this man did the hours; like, he really did do a phenomenal amount of commentary, and really like threw himself into commentary in a way that, as you said, with some of these other guys, they don't. Right? They just sort of turn up and do it. So, yeah.
Anyway,
was I just putting that off because I'm not sure who to go next? We'll never know. Next is an interesting one, because I either have to pick the 12th or I pick another bowler, and I'm going to pick the 12th here.
Okay.
And
oh no,
the reason is that means that Estelle has to pick the bowler, and we've already heard her reaction, but also because I think that there's a player here that gives us, our team, a little bit more flexibility that we haven't quite picked yet.
Can I guess?
Go.
Is he a South African cricketer who played for England?
Yes.
All right then. I had him in my list as well.
Kevin Peterson. No, sorry. Tony Greig. Just because, again, he's a player who is, you know, we did the all-rounder numbers recently, and he's got one of the best records of a player who's a genuine all-rounder that you will ever see. And he was a genuine all-rounder as well. He bowled spin, he bowled pace, could bat as well. And Tony Greig, again, is famous for commentating, not playing cricket, right? Like, you know, and it you know, because of that, I think his record as a player has been sort of forgotten about, partly because he kind of retires near his peak. Well, not retires, but he goes off to play Packer cricket during his peak. And so we probably were robbed of a couple of years. And once he goes off to play with Packer, it's funny, you know, when I did the Packer documentary, how many of the old newspaper clips are people and players in their books and stuff are moaning about Tony Greig, who basically does no work for cricket, but all he's thinking about is his future life and trying to, and suddenly I grew up with Tony Greig on about a million different ads, right? He was like the spokesman for all these products in Australia. And I don't, you know, Estelle would tell you as well, the impact he has on Sri Lanka is just absolutely huge. And so he's huge. He's well known in South Africa. He was a cricketer in England, and he's more famous as a commentator in Australia and Sri Lanka. It's a phenomenal career, really. I didn't particularly enjoy him as a person all that much at various times. And I think some of the ways he spoke about people wasn't ideal. But as a person who was a great cricketer and also a famous commentator, he just has to be on this list.
He was also involved in the ICL, wasn't he?
He's basically, yep. I did this, I think we did something recently, and I can't remember, Bayram, if we did a Footmarks on it.
I think we did.
You can make a claim that he's the most rebellious outlier, disruptor cricketer in the history of the game. He was involved in everything, dude. He was just involved in everything.
Brian Lara used pot plants to work on his placement. John Wright glued his glove to his bat. Sachin Tendulkar dug up practice pitches. Tatenda Taibu cut the top off his bat. Claire Taylor used a hockey grip. Steve Smith was from tennis. Dean Jones would call phantom runs. And Victor Trumper turned the Nets into a war zone to survive. The best batters in the world do whatever they have to make runs. We have told their stories in our new book, The Art of Batting.
And that means that we've got our 12th. Now Estelle has to pick a bowler. Estelle, you can actually pick a seamer or spinner. You've got plenty of options. I've got like five names on my list.
Estelle, can I tell you something? Estelle does not have five names on her list. I can see from her face.
But I think I have a relatively safe option for a bowler. He's probably one of the most loved commentators in the world right now. So Ian Bishop would be an easy pick, I think, as a bowler. In that, to our generation, we probably remember him as a fast bowler for that West Indies side. But I think a lot of the newer generation would think of him solely as a commentator, and some of those iconic lines, I think, similar to Ian Smith, where, you know, he's so good at calling great moments. And he's also shown himself to be someone who really puts in the work to, you know, get things right and kind of set that standard in the commentary box, right?
He's a really, really warm guy. I've had the pleasure of meeting him a couple of times, and someone who puts in the work. He's always sitting with the data people as well. And then he has this knack of just calling moments perfectly, you know, remember the name, Carlos Brathwaite, all of that stuff. And generally someone who just adores the sport, right? He is so involved. Even you see him active on Twitter and whatnot. And it's weird how he was a phenomenal cricketer as well. Like, if you look at his numbers, he's doing really, really well in that short span, but gets injured, kind of falls off. And now, for sure, you're right in the sense, Estelle, that, you know, the current generation or whatever, Gen Alpha, whatever we're at, they would think of Bishop primarily as a commentator, not as a cricketer at all. And he's earned that, because I don't think a lot of people work as hard as Ian Bishop does and take their job as seriously as him. And you don't find any haters, zero haters for the man.
Can I just talk about him as a cricketer for a moment? So he averages 24 with the ball, and that is 100% bloated. I think if he'd never got injured, he takes 300 or 400 wickets at 20.
Wow.
I think he was more talented than Kirtley or Courtney. I think he had some of the skills of Malcolm Marshall, but with height. Just a phenomenal bowler, and we never quite got the most out of him. And he averages 24 because I think over the last couple of years of his career, he averages about 30. So he was averaging a lot less than that when he was fully fit. And he would come back and you could tell he wasn't the same bowler. But he was, he could swing the ball and he could seam the ball and he had bounce and he had pace. Yeah, he just had more tools than maybe any bowler we've ever seen. But unfortunately, the injuries never allowed for it. So I love that he's had this incredible second act. Been lucky enough to, you know, work with him at times, you know, hang out with him a little bit. He's a lovely guy. But I think what you said is right, Bairam. And, you know, Simon Dool's going to miss out on this list as well. But
The
thing about Simon Dool and Ian Bishop is that they do the work. And a lot of commentators simply do not. And we're all aware of that. And they've gone on to be, neither of them are massively famous as cricketers, right? And the reason they're still commentating now is because they're good at the actual broadcasting and commentary side of it. And we should always respect and laud that, because so many people are not. I think I would have picked him as well, but I was a bit afraid that Estelle might not have picked Tony Gregg. So that was, I was hoping that she would go with Ian Bishop, although
I actually had Tony Gregg in my 11.
That's fine.
In the side.
I mean, Tony Gregg should probably be in this 11. Oh, no, I don't know where we fit him, actually, in the team. But yeah, so I think Ian Bishop is certainly someone there. Have you guys got any that have been missed?
Yeah, I've got a fair few honourable mentions, actually. I mean, Bill Laurie, we've already mentioned. I was very confused between him and Boycott, so he's there. Dean Jones, you wouldn't let me pick him, so I suppose he was never an option. If you hadn't picked Mel Jones, we could have had David Gower in there, right?
Yeah.
He could have batted at five.
He's a fascinating one, Gower, as a commentator, because I didn't think he was particularly good at Sky. And then he was let go by Sky, and it's almost like he went, oh, I have to take it seriously now. And he's done, I really enjoyed his commentary over the last couple of years. He's just come back with a vengeance. And it's like, I just think at Sky, he wasn't trying very hard. And then suddenly he realized he had to try hard to continue a career. And I've really been impressed by what he's done. Ravi Shastri is another one we don't have on.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Absolutely. He was in there as
but
well.
But there are, actually, you look at this, there are quite a lot of sort of all-roundery players like with Ravi Shastri and Tony Greig. So you can only fit so many of them in the team. But I had him on my list as well.
I had him on my list. But of course, like, I didn't really know where to slot in Ravi Shastri. And then I had Skull, but like, Skull, was he a really good cricketer? Right? Like, I'm not sure.
What's his bowling average?
What do you think? No idea. I have missed the entire, like, era of Kerry O'Keefe. I don't know when he played.
He had a bowling average of 38 in Test cricket. 53 wickets. I mean, most of his career is him joking about how bad a bowler he was. So I think Kerry O'Keefe would be more than fine with us doing that. I mean, again, though, he's another player who is more famous for being a commentator. And so you could almost make a claim on that. Bumble's another one, right?
Yeah. Like,
Bumble's got a test double century. Mm. But he's not. He's more famous for being a coach and a commentator than he is as a player. And he, you know, he was a fantastic one as well. Atherton?
I suppose Atherton, so. Yeah. But Atherton is below the pecking order from both of Boycott and Laurie. But then I was actually looking at the numbers as well. The only person who I picked purely on commentary was Ian Smith, who I had in my team if Sangha didn't make it. And then I
think Atherton is going to be remembered as a commentator, not as a batter. Mm.
That is very, very true. I mean, I think that he is definitely a better commentator than he is a batter, and he was a phenomenal batter as well. So that kind of speaks volumes of his commentary. Who else did I have? I mean, we have Tony Greig, so we didn't really need a Sean Pollock, but I had Pollock in my long list.
I thought about Pollock as well. Yeah. Mm. Adam Gilchrist was another one I had.
Mm. Yeah, potentially.
You've got a couple of other guys who are not quite great batters, but like Nasser Hussain and Ian Chappell have to be in any sort of conversation. Yes.
Also, you picked Benno, so we weren't going to pick Warne, but then there was Warney, right? Like, he was there staring at us.
Yeah, I mean, I'll allow you the one Wasim Akram pick, but I think if you pick Wasim Akram and Warne, I would be looking at it going, are we actually picking commentators here?
And then, of course, if you really don't want to go down that route, then Waqar Yunus was an option. Although I would rather stab my ears with a toothpick than probably listen to him on
comms. What about Amir Sohail?
Oh, please, come on. He's not even making it as a cricketer in this team.
Where does Akash Chopra come in now? Is he a YouTuber rather than a commentator?
Look, I don't really listen to the Hindi stuff, but I actually was watching a couple of those games, the Shit Legends League that we have all grown to love, right? And he was on comms over there. And no disrespect to Akash, I'm sure he's a decent person, or actually, I don't even know that, but I couldn't. I just couldn't.
He is.
I was like, no, I can't listen to this crap.
Oh, okay. We commentated with him on TalkSport, and I thought he was quite good. I'm not sure he's quite thought of as a commentator anyway, maybe because of the YouTube and everything else. Mm. Sanjay Mandrake is another one that I thought was an interesting player to have a look at. So I think there's a few out there that from that perspective, those sort of, I don't know, fringy type of players. And I think if you're talking about players who are more known for commentary than playing, Ebony Rainsford, Brent, and Ishit Guha, and we mentioned Katie Martin before, are three players who've sort of come from nowhere, right? Where it's quite interesting that some of the more famous women's cricketers have not become commentators in the same way, and you've got this secondary tier of players coming through who have become very good at commentary. So it'd be interesting to see what happens with the next generation, because we are now getting, you know, I think Catherine Siver-Brunt does quite a bit of comms, doesn't she, Estelle? Would she be one of the few major star players that, as a woman, that also commentates? I mean, Lisa Stelaker was a fantastic player, but she wasn't particularly famous in her era as a player. Mm. But I would have thought Catherine Siver-Brunt is maybe the first kind of player that is on that. So we haven't really had that generation of coming through. Like, you know, I think there's a few women who will retire over the next couple of years who might become those kinds of players and might become very famous. It'll be actually interesting to see when that first crop of very famous women players retire, how many of them get very good careers.
Also, I wonder if you're like, if Robin is going to watch this episode and he's going to be upset at you for not picking him, right?
I haven't heard that much of him as a commentator. So I heard him the other day on the India UAE game, and when I heard him, and it was really weird. It's really weird listening. Like, it would be like me listening to Bayrab commentate a game. It was so odd. You know, there's an ad. There was an ad that the ECB played at the ground, and John Norman starts the voiceover of the ad, and like, I'll be at the ground listening, going, "What? Wait, where? Why is John talking to me from the speakers? I find it very weird when it's someone I know sort of talk back. I still get it. I get it with Bumble as well. Hmm. And Bumble's voice is everywhere. But I hadn't heard Robbie commentate very much. It wasn't a particularly great game to commentate. But again, you could tell he'd done his work. Like,
yeah.
I'm not saying this because I'm a friend of his or anything, but you could just tell he'd done his work, right? Because the way he was speaking about the game was so obvious. And I think that shows that, you know, that's the kind of thing that you're looking at. But I don't think you would identify Robbie as a commentator yet, would
not
you? It's
yet.
Too early.
Maybe. I think. Maybe in the future. I actually think he has an immaculate voice. Like, it's a great voice to listen to. Varun said it reaches parts of his ear that it didn't know existed. So that's just Varun saying stuff. Also, like, I didn't have other spinners, right? Like, if we really got desperate, because I think our team is light on spin, we could have gone Lakshman Sivaramakrishnan, right? I don't know. Who else is there as a spinner? Like, you're not keen on Warney.
I would have thought that Phil Tufnell would be someone. I suppose he hasn't had a lot of TV, though, has he? But I would have thought Phil Tufnell is probably another one. I mean, if you wanted another spinner, I think you just drop Ravi Shastri in. I mean, Ravi Shastri and Richie Beno together that's our first class, you know, a top tier international spin rotation. Or Lisa Stelaica, I suppose. Is she a frontline spinner? But again, maybe she's more like a Ravi Shastri type spinner.
Yeah.
So I think there was a couple of other options there. I don't know about Laxman, man. Murali Kartik. I love Murali Kartik as a bowler, though. To be fair,
he was also an option. Actually, I didn't even consider Murali Kartik. Anyway, you guys let us know as well who we missed and who could have been in our team of 12. But Jared, let all of our viewers and listeners know what were our individual picks and what does our eventual team of 12 look like.
Yeah, Estelle went Michael Holding, Ricky Ponting, Jeremy Coney, Ian Bishop. I went Richie Beno, Fred Truman, Mel Jones, Tony Gregg. Baron went Sunil Gavaskar, Wasim Akram, Ian Smith, and Jeff Boycott. So we have Gavaskar, Boycott, Ponting, Jones, Coney, Beno, Smith, Akram, Truman, Holding, Bishop, Tony Gregg.
All right, then. So I suppose we are hoping that this team gets those 20 wickets early, right? That's what we're going for.
Yeah, it's a weird team. It's a weird team.
Yeah. Anyway, that kind of does bring a wrap to this episode of the Quick Picks podcast. Do let us know what you think of our picks and who won this, and also whether or not you like our team. And just a quick reminder, you can go to goodareas.co and bookmark that webpage, and that can prove to be a one-stop shop for all the fun work that we do as part of this team, whether it be written content, videos, or podcasts. And once again, to let you guys know, all of our podcasts on the Good Areas Network are powered by our supporters on Patreon. You can become one of them by going to patreon.com/goodareaspodcast, and then you can enjoy ad-free content, you can talk to us exclusively, and you can give us Quick Picks recommendations, and generally it's like a very inclusive community. You can talk about literally everything or anything, and we welcome you to join it. But yes, we'll see you soon enough on another one of these podcasts, and that'll be all for today. Have a good one, guys, and goodbye.
Thank you for listening. This podcast has an ad-free version via Patreon, where there are also many other extras as well, including a Discord channel where you can chat to me directly. There is a link to the Patreon in the show notes. We are an independent podcast, so support us any way you can. Maybe give us a review, subscribe, or share on social media. All of these things help us. And when it comes to podcasts, word of mouth is always the best way of making it grow. If we had a guest on, chances are their socials are in the show notes. Please support everyone who comes on this show. I am Jared Kimber, and this is my network. But we also have hosts and co-hosts like Bairam Kazi and Estelle Vasudevan. This network is overseen by Nick McCorriston, and each episode is produced by Ishit Kaburka at Sound Potion Studio. Mukunda Bandredi, or Muku as most people will know, is the head of our YouTube channels, and he also helps out with so many other things like the podcast recordings. And there's so many other people we could thank here, but I just want to thank all the listeners and all the people who help behind the scenes that make this podcast work. If you make a lot of content like me, you are going to need help. And that is why we use Minvo.pro, a slicing and dicing tool that uses AI to conjure up incredible clips from your podcasts and meetings. If you make content, go to Minvo.pro to cut it.